Will you pray with me again? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. You are rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So Craig told you that there was a man in the Bible whose name is Laughter. In Hebrew, that name his mom and dad gave him is pronounced Yitzik. Yitzik. It even sounds like a chuckle, doesn't it? I think it'd be pretty tough to grow up with a name called Chuckles, right? It's pretty tough. We pronounce Yitzik Isaac, and Isaac stands right in the middle of a trinity of patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Scripture is all the time referring to these three together. These three come to stand for who God was, who God would be. Moses, standing barefoot at that flame, turns around and says, Who do I say sends me? Why would they follow me? And God gives Moses God's name. And then God says, tell them the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sends you. And sure enough, Moses did, and that was enough for the children of Israel to follow Moses out of Egypt. Scriptures all the time using these three names together, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's interesting to hear what these words really mean. Abraham means ancestor. Isaac means laughter. Jacob means striving. Our God is the God of ancestors, the God of laughter, the God of striving. A man named Laughter stands right in the middle, which is a pretty darn good place to be, right? He never really gets much of the spotlight on himself. He's always upstaged by his father and by his son. This guy's distinction seems to be that everybody else is always doing something to him. His dad lays him up on the altar as a sacrifice. His son cheats him out of a blessing. His marriage is arranged completely without him. His wife in their old age conspires against him. And he's got these neighbors who are constantly coming up to him and saying, hey, would you please leave? And he does. You'd think somebody with as jolly a name as Laughter would exercise a little more active influence on the world, you know? But the Bible tells us mostly how everybody else acted upon Isaac, which I think makes him a character many of us can relate to. Because at the end of many of our days, don't we feel acted upon when you lay down in the bed and the day kind of rolls through your head? Truth is that a great deal of living is learning how to respond to what other people do, to what the world simply does to us. I love this story about Isaac digging wells. It's the only story really in the Bible that he gets all to himself without his father and without his son. But in this story of a man named Laughter digging in the desert for water, I think there is wonderful wisdom for how to respond to what others have done. The story begins with a lesson about how to respond to what other people did before we got there. Isaac goes and finds these old wells that his father had dug. Abraham had been in the very same place that Isaac now finds himself. And Abraham had found some good and sweet, cool water there. But when Abraham died, the Philistines came along with some sand, and they filled in the wells for spite. And now Isaac comes back to that place, and we read that he digs again the wells his father dug, and he gives them the names that his father had given them. Isaac responds to some good gifts from his past by redigging his father's wells. Now, there's a lot in our past that is worth redigging and reclaiming, isn't there? To live well, it's not enough to achieve some new things. We must also reclaim some old things. The greatest need that some of us have isn't to discover something new, but to remember. Do you remember simplicity? When we didn't have to have so much stuff? Or when people didn't have to be going somewhere to be happy? Remember how people were before we invented the doggone fast lane, where we spent time, stretches of time, not just with careers or entertainments, but with each other too. Remember when we called TV by the name of books, and we called time by the way of neighbors? Remember friendship sustained over distance and time? Remember being in each other's home? Remember commitment to community. Remember tithing. Remember the brilliant value of personal daily prayer. Just opening up the scripture and listening. Now, maybe you don't remember those as a part of your family, but they are a part of your heritage as a child of God. These are wells that somebody else has already found for you. We all live in a kind of desert, really, but we don't really have to go searching anxiously for the water. We already know where it is. People were here before us, and they found it, and they left it for us. If we're wise, we'll go back to those old wells and we'll reclaim them and quench our thirst now. You know, it's the same with the church. Some 60 years ago, somebody dug a new well right here. And this church has been splashing living water all over this town and far horizons too, haven't you? I love dreaming with you about digging new wells, about ways we can be fresh water for this community. But I also loved thinking about and dreaming about redigging old wells and reclaiming old wells right here. But redigging old wells isn't glamorous work, you know. It's sweaty work. And it's faithful work. You just keep digging and digging until you find water. And every one of us, every one of you and me, we all have to do the sweaty work that opens up these clogged up sources, that gives us fresh new sources of living water right now. Now, have you noticed how all of these good wells are constantly being clogged up? Who is it that comes sneaking in the nighttime and throwing stuff in our wells? Well, there's a principle in the world at work in everybody. It's in work in every person, every family, every institution. Some folks call it the principle of decay. It says if you leave a thing alone, it will never stay the same. It will always slide into some form of corruption if it's left alone. Take a white picket fence and let it be. And you got a gray picket fence, right? If you want a white picket fence, you have to keep going back over and painting it and painting it and painting it again. And so it is. If we want the best from our past, we have to constantly be in a revolution. To keep the best from changing, we have to be at work changing it. Now, I spoke of this as the principle of decay, but you know, the church, we've always called it the fall. And what it means is that where we used to find good and sweet water, there are Philistine forces at work in the world and in us that come back and fill them in. So our best response from the past is not to idolize them, but to remake them. To dig out what's false and dead, to release what's new and fresh this day. In other words, the church, including this church, will choke if we aren't constantly committed to renewing the church. And it means that our personal relationships and our personal communion with the living God will go dry as dust if we don't work on these disciplines that keep them open. So have you been thirsty lately? Why not commit to redigging a proven old well? But remember, too, you know, old wells aren't all. There's some new discoveries for you and me to make that people before us didn't make because God put you and me here to make these new discoveries. The story says that Isaac didn't stop with excavating his daddy's well. He went on to make some new risks of his own. I suppose that Isaac went and leaned over some of those wells from his parents' time and said, "Mom, Dad, thanks for all the ways that you came here first and for how you nourished me, but it's time. I've got to go dig my own new wells now." And he did. To be faithful means both to remember the old things and to risk a new thing right now. To be faithful means that every person finds our own unique way to the living waters, not just for ourselves, but for other people. Because in every age, the Spirit of God is new, is doing a new thing, is inviting us to new insights and new sources of living water. Every one of us here has a Star Trek mission to boldly go where no one has ever gone before. Sorry, I couldn't think of something that fit that better. And I wasn't going to say it like Spock. But it's true. Every one of us have a place to go. It's why it's so important that you ask your own questions, that you pray your own way, that you discern your own heart, that you use your own unrepeatable gifts, that you do your work now and not rest for somebody else to hand you the work. It's important that you follow your dream, but make certain that you drink from the best that your past can offer, but make certain that you're drinking now from your most personal way to these living waters, honoring the past. Now follow your dream. And right here is where the plot thickens, because no sooner than Isaac goes out and digs this new well, then some herdsmen show up and say, "Hey, you can't have that. That's ours." And so the man named Laughter says, "I'll dig another well." And he does. And as soon as he does, the neighbors come up again and say, "You must leave. We're taking this." And the man named Laughter says, "You may. I'll find another well." And again he leaves. And he goes and searches for another place. Now, have you noticed how this man responds to what's given to him? He's responded to the heritage of his forebears by redigging old wells for himself. And he now responds to his own dream by following his calling today. And he responds to conflict and to unfair losses by moving on to try again and to try again. The book of Genesis is pained to say that Isaac was blessed. Isaac was really, really blessed. It says it over and over again that this guy was blessed. But it also shows us over and over again how this man was constantly being messed with. How often do these two things go together in your life? Blessing and messing. Isaac, like many of us, live in a tangle of blessing and messing. But he's a model of how to respond to the conflict. He knows how to walk away and to start all over again. Now, doesn't he have a right to this water that he has found? That his enemies are now taking from him? Yes, he does. Aren't his rights being violated? Well, yes, they are. Doesn't he have the power to fight off these enemies? Yes, he does. He has an army of servants that could fight for him. Doesn't he want to fight for his rights? Doesn't he feel fury at these bullies? Wouldn't he love to break their little Philistine faces? Probably would, but he doesn't, because there's a time. There is a time to refuse to fight and to release the struggle. And because the best response in some struggles is just to remove ourselves from their smallness. And because life is short. And darn it, there's better things to do than to win a fight or prove a point about what's fair. There is a time to stand and to fight. There is a time to stay our ground and to enter into conflict. The children of God are not afraid of conflict, but the children of God have great freedoms to walk away from fighting fights that aren't worth fighting. There are conflicts that can only make us smaller. There is wrong that can be and must be endured. There are losses that we must accept and move on. Now, I know it's hard to do that. I know it's hard to walk away from any assault on our lives. It's the most natural thing to do to, when we're hit, to go and hit right back, isn't it? How dare anyone or anything rob us of what's rightfully ours? How right it seems to rage and to fight back, right? It's not just how it feels, just when somebody hurts us, but when life itself does us wrong. When death, for example, comes and cheats us out of our life together with someone we love, robs us, really. Or when some other unfairness comes and cheats us out of our happiness. Something in us wants nothing more than just to stay there and rage against it. But there is a time to stop raging and to concede what cannot be kept. A time to move on. A time to dig a new well. So how long? How long will you linger at wells that cannot be kept this day? When there is a calling to new blessing, if you move on. The Apostle Paul puts it this way: bless those who hurt you, bless and do not curse. Never repay evil for evil. Don't live in a spirit of vengeance, for any vengeance there will be belongs to God and to God alone. Most of all, Paul says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Sometimes to overcome evil with good means ceasing to be confrontive and choosing to be creative. It means being like Jesus, who didn't return insult for insults, but who bore them in silence, trusting God for resurrection. It means being like Isaac, a man whose name means laughter, who, because he can remember God's faithful blessing in the past, can let this part of the past go right now, trusting that God will lead him again into new laughter. And so Isaac looks at this well that he wanted to keep, a well that he deeply loved, that he dug. It was his well. But now he blesses it by leaving it, overcomes evil by letting go. He moves on, believing God will bring him to new water, even out in his desert. And on that third new beginning, the enemy, well, what do you know? Left him alone. It really is true that if we don't stoop to the evil, we conquer the evil. And the well that Isaac dug this time, well, it was the strongest yet. The stream of water was a gusher. The water was so sweet and so cool and so strong that he named the place in Hebrew Rehoboth, which means bonanza, Texas-sized well. All the room you could possibly want to live in and grow in. You know, the children of God have often finding it true that God saves the very best gifts for right now. Isaac is the patriarch of faithful responding to what's already happened. He shows us how to take what we've been given and to turn it into a new blessing. His is a path, I think, we can follow. We've reclaimed the sources that have already been proven by redigging old wells from our past. We claim our calling to open new sources now, fulfilling our mission this day to do a new thing. And when we meet resistance, unfairness, and loss, we move on, trusting in the bounty of God's gracious, generous, bonanza future. This is the way of Jesus too. And all those who choose to follow him will find in the end that our name is laughter too. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, give us wisdom out there in the desert to come where these living waters are. Keep us from every form of premature despair. Keep us lifted on wings of hope. Keep us committed to the unfailing sources. Keep us free from unworthy contact. And keep us walking by faith toward the very best gifts that still await us by your hand, O God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.